Good weekend to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. What do you consider the most powerful forces in our world, whether military or political or natural disaster? Are there any you would consider unstoppable? Today, let's look at one that qualifies, and it's exciting because God Himself empowered normal people like you and me to be part of it. Yesterday, I left you in a gathering of the most influential, powerful religious leaders in Israel. They were called the Sanhedrin. And they had gathered to decide what to do about the nearly out-of-control spiritual Great Awakening happening in Jerusalem. Since the Shavuot Pentecost Festival, everything was turned upside down by the Holy Spirit-empowered disciples, proclaiming the wonders of Jesus in languages they did not know, Acts chapter 2. And then there was the healing of a crippled man by Peter and John through the power of the name of Jesus, Acts chapter 3. And more recently, other miracles by these Holy Spirit-anointed followers of Jesus. Jerusalem had never seen anything like it, and these Sanhedrin religious leaders were getting both anxious and angry. So they arrested the apostles and put them in jail overnight, ready to have an interrogation the next morning. So here they are, all gathered in their fancy robes and ready for a tribunal and judgment. They've sent for the apostles to be brought from the jail where they were held overnight. But the attendants who went to bring the jailed apostles made this stunning declaration. We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened the doors, we found no one inside. Acts 5, verse 23. Now think about that. What could it possibly mean? Their shock was interrupted by another attendant bursting into the room to announce that the apostles were all in the temple courts teaching crowds of people who had gathered around them. Why? These people were desperate to hear about the resurrected Jesus Christ and this Holy Spirit anointing. Who better to explain it than these men who had been with Jesus, had seen him several times after his resurrection, and had been anointed, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, if you had been one of those devout religious leaders who had dedicated your entire life to understanding the Jewish holy books, including the scriptures, and you were a recognized authority in religious matters, how would you have responded to what I've just described if you were in that gathering that day in Jerusalem? Well, the guards went and escorted the apostles from the crowds and brought them into the Sanhedrin gathering. Immediately, they faced one key question. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you're determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Pause. That is happening right now in many parts of our world, as Christians are arrested and brought before accusers who demand why they won't stop talking about Jesus. Is it happening in your town? Have you ever been asked why you won't stop talking about Jesus? Have you ever been pressured to stop talking about Jesus? The record of this gathering reports the apostles answered clearly and boldly, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross." Oh my, I wonder if they paused there and just let that sink in for a minute. What about you and me? Every day, do we prioritize obeying God rather than mankind? In all things, how much influence does social media or entertainment media or the opinions of friends or the expectations of those you respect all have on your thinking, your attitudes, your choices, and your behavior? And honestly now, what about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? How much do those two events and their implications affect your life and mine each day? For these Sanhedrin religious leaders, they were traumatized. No one had ever spoken to them like this, with such resolute courage and boldness. The apostles continued, "God exalted Jesus to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Acts 5. These declarations were beyond shocking, beyond radical. If true, if resurrected Jesus really has been elevated to God's right hand as Prince and Savior, then these religious leaders knew they should expect an outpouring of God's judgment upon them, and maybe even death, for what they had done to Jesus. In their shock, they ordered the apostles removed from their presence so they could discuss what had just happened. One of the wisest, most respected teachers among the Sanhedrin stood to his feet to speak. His name was Gamaliel, honored by everyone, and he said, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do with these men. I advise you, leave them alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." Acts chapter 5. Pause. Think about that. Very similar courtroom gatherings are happening all around the world, often, even in our day, as great effort is made to silence those who speak God's truth. The recent killing of Charlie Kirk and the opposition to his truth movement in America is a recent high-profile example. The record says his speech persuaded the Sanhedrin. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Acts 5, verse 40. You'll remember, my friends, a flogging was a terrifying, brutal form of torture, tearing the skin off their bodies with each whip, leaving the person profusely bloodied and often so weak they could not even stand without assistance. But look, my friends, at what Dr. Luke tells us next. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Acts 5, verse 41. Oh my, what would it take in your heart and mind for us to consider it an honor if we are mocked or persecuted or even tortured because we are known to be followers of Jesus? And what are the experiences in your life and mind which cause us to rejoice in our relationship with Jesus? We need to pause right here, don't we? Oh, so much to think about this weekend. I urge you to take time to read Acts chapter 5, verse 17 to 42, and invite the Holy Spirit to give you a fresh perspective on the privilege and the price of being a Jesus follower in 2026, no matter where you live in the world.